Okay, we're going to start here 12 lines up on the bottom of Vav Amud Bet with a case that deals with what we started with yesterday. Yesterday we left off with the makhluk between Rav and Shmuel as to who the locha was like. Was the locha like the Tanakama or is the locha like Chananya? Rav passing the locha ke Tanakama, that when you have a mavuya mifpudash, you require only tzurat petach on one side and a lechi or korah on the other side. But Shmuel passing the locha ke Chananya in Beit Hillel, which means that when you have a mavuya flush, you need deltot on one side, and you need a lechi or korah on the other side. Now the Gemara is going to bring in a case that took place in the city of Narada. Ho mavuy akum dalav in Narada. There was this mavuy that was not straight, it was bent, that was in Narada. You can see the picture in Rashi as to what it looks like. It's a mavuy in the shape of a U. Not like we've discussed until now, a mavuy which has three mechitzot around, and that's why it's shaped like a U, meaning the mechitzot are like a U. Here, the actual mavui itself is like a semicircle, a mavui that has exits to Rishut Rabim on the two atop ends of the U, but obviously the same Rishut Rabim, not a different Rishut Rabim. Rami alei chumrei derab v'chumrei dishmuel. They insisted there that they put on both the chumrot of Rav and the chumrot of Shmuel. As you can see here in the U, what they did was they put dilatot at the bends of the U, and then they put a lechi at the ends of the U that faced into the Rishut Rabim. This is similar to what we saw yesterday with the mavui akum, whether that's mavui mifulash according to Rav or mavui stutum according to Shmuel. And this is Rashi Lishitoto, again, which Tosfot discussed yesterday, that the delet or the tzurat petach that you're going to put in comes at the turn in the mavui, and the lechi goes at the end towards the Rishut Rabim. The reason to put it at the turn is so that both sides, whichever direction you're coming from, you can see it. The lechi is at the end that faces out towards the Rishut HaRabim. This mavui akum davenarda. Rami alei chumrei derav chumrei deshmuel. They made them take care of this mavui based on the chumrot of Rav and the chumrot of Shmuel. Vatzruchu daltot. So they made them put on doorways. Who says you need doorways over here? Rav paskin like the Tanakama. The Tanakhama says you need Tzurat HaPetach by Mavui Mifulash, and you need a Yilachi or Korah. That would have been sufficient. According to Rav, you don't need Daltot at all. You need Tzurat HaPetach and Lachi and Korah. So now that is Vatzuchu Daltot, Chumrei Derav Damar Torato Ki Mifulash. What is the Chumrei Derav? The Chumrei Derav has to do with, earlier on in the Daf, Machoket Rav and Shmuel, when you have a Mavui, that is Akum. Okay, Rashi has a picture on the previous Amud, you can see on Vav Amud Aleph, where it's an L-shaped mavui. And over there, there's machloket, Rav and Shmuel, what is the din of such a mavui? A mavui that's shaped like an L, is that a mavui hamifulash? Or is that a mavui she'enu mifulash? Why? Mavui hamifulash, you generally would assume, is something that you can see straight through, from end to end. So if you can stand on one end and see the other end, that would be called a mifulash. Over here, because it's L-shaped, you can't do that. Although, if you're standing at the middle point, you can't see both exits. So that's a question. Is that considered mifulash or not? Rav believes that is mifulash. Shmuel thinks that is not mifulash. So that's what the Gemara is saying here. They held them two chumrah. They held the chumrah of Rav, that in mavui akum has a din of mifulash. Well, once it has a din of mifulash, what's the din? Well, according to Rav, the din would be only needed tzurat petach and lechi and korah. But here they put on daltot, and Lechi and Korah, that's like Shmuel, Chumro de Shmuel, who paskins like Beit Hillel. The Beit Hillel says, in order to make a Mavuye Mifulash, okay, you need Daltot on one side, and you need a Lechi and Korah on the other side. Now you can see in the picture of Rashi, this is Rashi the Shitato, like on the beginning of Vavam and Aleph. If you look at Rashi, where is the Delet placed, and where's the Lechi and the Korah? And similar to Shitat Rashi on the previous Amud, as you see in the picture, that on the L, he put the Tzurat HaPetach in the middle, and the lechi on the either end of the L. So over here in the picture that we have on our Amud in Rashi, he puts the dilatot in the two turns within the mavui, and he puts the lechi at the ends of the U. Standing in the mavui, you will have visibility towards the tzurat petach. So that's what the Gemara says here. They did like the chumrot of both Rav and Shmuel. A tzrucho dilatot, like Shmuel. Chumrei derav, a chumrei like Rav damar torotoke mifulash. That is a din of a mavui mifulash, even though it's akum, even though it's a turning mavui. Vamar Rav alocha ketanakamo. Didn't Rav say the alocha is like ketanakamo, which means surat apetach, lechi korah. But daltot, you certainly don't need daltot according to the Tanakama. So then why do you need daltot here? Shmuel! That's like Shmuel, damar alocha ke chananya. Like chananya in Beit Hillel, which is daltot and lechi korah. Vamar Shmuel torato kisatum. Didn't Shmuel say that a mavoi akum has a din of she'enu mifulash. It's like a satum. It's like a mavoi that has three walls around it. Kirav darimar taroto kimifulash. It's like Rav who says that it's a straight through mavoi, a mavoi that has open on both ends. Umi avdina and kitrei chumrei. Can you really paskin like two chumrot when it comes to a psak halacha like this? Vatanya, don't we have a breita? The ulam halacha ke beit hilel. The halacha is always like beit hilel. Varotze lasot kedivrei beit shemai oseh. If you want to hold like beit shemai, that's fine. You can do like beit shemai. Kedivrei beit hilel. If you want to hold like beit hilel, you want to subscribe to their position oseh, you can do that. Mikule beit shemai ukumle beit hilel rasha. One who takes all the lenient opinions of Beit Shammai and all the lenient opinions of Beit Hillel is a Rasha. That's an evil person. That's a person who's only looking for all the dispensations, not looking for the truth or to follow a singular opinion. Michumrei Beit Shammai, Michumrei Beit Hillel, someone who takes the stringencies of Beit Shammai and the stringencies of Beit Hillel, alava katuv omer, on him the pasuk says, aksio b'choshech oleich, that the fool walks in darkness. I mean that this person is blind to what the decision or the positions that he is following. Now he's much better than the person who takes the kulot, because at least here it's the chumrah. So in the tzad chumrah, he's at least keeping all the stadim, the chumrah, and the mitzvot in that way. But nevertheless, it's a gesil b'choshek telech, because you either need to describe the Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai, as the brayta continues. Ela ike Beit Shammai kikuluhem uchumrehem. If you want to pass on like Beit Shammai, you take all their leniencies and all their stringencies. Ike Beit Hillel. If you want to pass on like Hillel, you have to take all their leniencies and all their stringencies. You have to be consistent in your psak halacha. Gemara says, agufa kasha. Wait, not only is this a question on the story from Narda, it's an internal stira in this braita. The braita first says, amart lola malacha Beit Hillel, that the halacha is like Beit Hillel. And then afterwards, vada amart, I would tell us so kidire Beit Shammai useh, and the one who wants to do it like Beit Hillel can do. Meaning, in the second statement of the Braita, you can choose whom to follow. In the first statement of the Braita, it says, Alochas ke Beit Hillel. So that seems to be an inconsistency in the Braita itself. So before we deal with the question in Narda, let us at least ask or answer how we deal with this Braita. Gemara says, Lokasha, that's not a problem. Kan kodem batko, kan liachar batko. So we're going to get to this a little later in the Masechta. But there was a batko that came out and said, Alocha ke Beit Hillel. So since the Batko came out and said Alocha Beit Hillel, after that point, we said Alocha Beit Hillel. But until that point in time, you could have chosen, you could have gone paskin like Beit Hillel, you could have paskin like Beit Shammai. Now, even though Beit Hillel was the Rabbim, and Alocha should have followed Beit Hillel, nevertheless, the Gemara tells us that Beit Shammai were harifin. They were sharp, intelligent, very cogent arguments. And so there might be a possibility that we would have thought that that would trump the Rabbim of Beit Hillel. So the bad call came along and told us, no, the halacha is like Beit Hillel. So the statement in the beginning of the Braita is, after the bad call, then we say halacha Beit Hillel. Prior to the bad call, then, if you followed Beit Hillel, fine. If you followed Beit Shammai, fine. As long as you were consistent in your opinion of always following Beit Hillel, or always following Beit Shammai. Ha? V'ha l'achar bad call. That both of them are after the bad call. That both statements in the Braita are after the bad call. V'ri Rabbi Yeshua hi. And this is Rabbi Yeshua from the Gemara in Boba Metzia, the lo mashkach bebatko. He doesn't listen to a batko. Gemara in Boba Metzia is about Tanur Shalachnai. Tanur Shalachnai, where Rabbi Lezer argues with the Chachamim about the status of the Tanur, and they're back and forth. They start to have some supernatural things happen. Finally, a heavenly voice comes out and says, leave him alone, he's right, Rabbi Lezer, the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, sorry, lo b'shamayim hi. We don't listen to heavenly voices. The halacha is determined by down here on earth. And therefore, you cannot paskin based on a bat call. So that's the answer here. Do you listen to a bat call or not? Rabbi Shua says we don't listen to a bat call. So he'd be the opinion that you could still be like Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai. Whereas, someone who thinks that the bat call is koveya will say that halacha is ke Beit Hillel. Now, it's interesting because the bat call there is different than the bat call over here. Tosafot points out that difficulty. The bat call by Rabbi Eliezer is a bat call neged Rabbim. The Rabbim were against Rabbi Eliezer, and the bat call comes to support Rabbi Eliezer. There you can say, it's just lechavot. Over here, by Beit Hillel are the majority. And so it's Beit Hillel neged Beit Shammai, and the bat call supports them. So over there, maybe the bat call should carry more weight.
And therefore, Tosfot is not so sure why the Gemara is so certain that Rabbi Yeshua would not necessarily subscribe to the bat call in our case. The bat call in our case is with the Rabbim, not neged the Rabbim. So maybe we say Lo b'shamayim hi when it's a batkol of supporting Rabbi Eliezer, who's a yachid neged rabim. But over here, where Beit Hillel is the rabim and the batkol is supporting them, then why wouldn't we subscribe to that batkol? Could be that Rabbi Yeshua says Lo b'shamayim hi across the board. That's a blanket statement. But then you have to say what we mentioned before in the name of Tosafot, that over here you have to have a havamina to think that the halacha would not be like Beit Hillel. Because if Beit Hillel is the Rabim, why is there any question? Why do you need the Bat Kol at all? The answer being that Beit Shammai were Harifim, and since they were Harifim, there's at least a Havamina to assume that the Halacha might be like Beit Shammai, despite the fact that they are not the Rabim. Along comes the Bat Kol and says, no, we subscribe to the normal halachic process, and therefore Halacha ke Beit Hillel. Or the other alternative is that where the Breita is not giving you information about Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, but rather using them as a paradigmatic machloket or controversy between parties. Kohecha de mishkacha trei tanai, vitrei amuraye. Anytime you find two tanaim, utu omaraim, that are arguing the plige ahadodi, that they argue ke ein machlokot Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, similar to the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, then you should do as such. Meaning that the first statement of the Braita is Halacha ke Beit Hillel. That's the governing principle. The second part of the Braita is not saying, oh, if you want to choose like Beit Hillel, you want to choose like Beit Shammai. It has nothing to do with Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. It's just using Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as a paradigm for any machloket you find in Shas. When there is a machloket as such, then, lo le'avid kikulei demar v'kikulei demar, don't subscribe to all the lenient positions of both opinions. And not like the stringent opinions of both sides. Ella, you have a choice. O kikule demar uke chumre avid. Either you do everything like that opinion, means both the leniencies and the stringencies. O kikule demar uke chumre avid. Or you take the other opinion and follow all of their leniencies and stringencies. So that would be a solution again, because the beginning of the Braita is Halacha Beit Hillel. The latter half of the Braita is not about Beit Hillel Beit Shammai per se. It's about a machloka that looks similar to this. In those cases, you have to pick an opinion that you paskin like. Either you paskin like Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai. In this case, it will be some other Tana or Amora that you pick. But once you pick that opinion, you have to follow their position, Lekula and Lechumra. You can't go ahead and then decide that everything's Lekula. I'm always going to take the lenient opinions between the two of them, or the Chumra opinions between the two of them. But the Gemara says, Mikol Malom Kasha. Okay, now you resolve the internal stira in the Braita. We can understand why, how to read the Braita or the emendations we need to read the Braita. But you still now have a question, what happened in Narda? In Narda, they took the Chumrah of Rav and the Chumrah of Shmuel. So they did exactly what this Braita suggested one should not do. So I'm Rav Nachmar Yitzchak, Kulei Kirav Avdua. Bemet, they pass an Aloha Kirav across the board. Dam Rav Una Merav, Aloha V'ein Morin Kain. Because we have a Mesor from Huna in the name of Rav, that the Halacha is like the Tanakama of Ein Morim Kein, but we do not publicly paskin that way. Based on that, you have a situation in which, if you paskin like Rabbi Chananya, according to Beit Hillel, and you paskin like Rav, that it's a Mifulash, you'll actually be within the position of Rav. Yes, Rav thinks that, in this case, the Halacha really is like the Tanakama, that all you need is Surat HaPetach and Lechi and Korah, but nevertheless, he won't say that publicly. So, in this case of Narda, they're going to allow them to paskin like the Beit Hillel according to Chananya. And if that's the case, you need Daltot, and you need a Lechi and a Korah. So that'll explain why they paskin completely like Rav. They paskin like Rav across the board. Not that that's Rav's opinion, Mi'ikar Alocha, but it's Rav's opinion because he won't publicly state that his opinion is that the Locha is Kitana Kama. So based on that, they were consistent in their psak, holding like Rav, that it's considered a Mavoya Mifulash. And holding like Rav, that the Halacha is like Chananya with Beit Hillel when it's in public. But the problem is, with Rav Adar Bava, my Rav, the Halacha Morin Kain, what are you going to do with Rav Adar Bava, who thinks that Rav said the Halacha is like the Tanakama, and you can make a public statement about that. We give Psak Halacha according to that. Ma'ikul Meimar, what are you going to do in that case? I'm Rav Shizvi, Kelo Avdinun, Kechumei de Beitre, Heche de Satre Adodi. The truth is, when can you not paskin the Chumra of both opinions? That is when they are mutually exclusive, when the opinions are contradictory in nature. If that's the case, then taking the chumrah from both of them is problematic, because the halachic outcomes, both the chumrah and kula, are premised on a single position. And if you change the chumrah or the kula on the other side, then you're actually changing the position. And if you change the position, that would change the halacha, both the chum and the kula, on both sides. So you can't do that. What is an example of that? Kagon shidrab gulgolet. Like the case of a spine and a skull. It's not. We have a Mishnah in Ohalot that says a shidrab gulgolet. When you have a spine and a gulgolet, shechisru. And they were missing something. Over there, the Mishnayot and Ohalot are discussing what items from the mate are classified as making something tamei mate be'ohel. If you remember, we just had back on the previous dapim, se'ora. Se'ora from the Shivat Aminim, the Gemara says se'ora is for etzem kise'ora. Etzem kise'ora, a bone the size of a barley seed, is mitamei b'maga, with contact, b'masa, and if you carry it. But it is not mitamei b'olamate. In order to be mitamei and olamate, you need either a kazayit minamate, so you need a kazayit basar from minamate, you need an aver shalem with basar on it, or you need rov minyan or rov binyan. You have to have the majority of the structure of the individual, or you have to have the majority of the bones in the individual. If you have those items, then they're metame ba'ohel, meaning that even if you enter into the same roofed area as where this mate is kept, then you will be tame. So here, the Mishnah wants to understand, when you have a skull and a spine, when is it still classified as a spine and a skull to be metame ba'ohel? So they have machloki between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. V'kama chisaron b'shidra, how much has to be missing from the spine to not be called a spine anymore? Beit Shammai omrim shtei chuliot, you have to be missing two vertebrae. If you're missing two vertebrae, it's no longer a spine. Beit Hillel omrim chulia achat, all you need is one vertebrae to be missing, and then it's not classified as a spine. Ubi gulgolet, when you're dealing with the skull, Beit Shammai omrim kemelo makdeach, has to be the size of a drill hole, a chisel hole in the skull, that's enough so that it's no longer classified as a skull. Beit Hillel omrim kedei shinatel min achai veyamut. If you take this much out of the skull of a live individual, that they would definitely pass away. That is how much has to be missing from the skull for it not to be classified as a skull anymore. So in this case, Beit Shammai is the Chumrah. In both cases, Beit Shammai has a higher threshold before which the item will no longer be mitamei b'olamate. Beit Hillel says one vertebrae missing, it's not mitamei b'olamate. You have a small hole that would cause someone who's alive to pass away, that is no longer mitamei b'tumat olamate. Beit Shammai, on the other hand, has a higher threshold. You have to be missing two vertebrae before it's not mitamei b'olamate. You have to be missing kolom makdeach. You have to have enough of a drill hole before it's not classified as a skull. So Beit Shammai is the chumrah, Beit Hillel is the kula. Now, why is that important? Because I'm reviewing the Mishmuel v'chein l'inyan treifa. When it comes to an animal that you shech, when you shech the animal, you want to know if the animal is a treifa or not. So you have to look. Does it have a whole spine? Does it have a whole skull? So when we look at that, it'll be just the opposite. Beit Hillel will say, I look at this animal, when is it classified as a treifa? It's classified as a treifa. It's missing a single vertebrae. Just like a single vertebrae is no longer classified as a spine for olamate, it's also not classified as a spine for treifa. So now Beit Hillel will be the chumrah by the case of treifa. And the same is true by the gulgolet. By the gulgolet, when will we classify this animal as a treifa? When it has a hole in it that would cause it to die when it was alive. If it has a smaller hole than that, okay. Bigger hole than that, problematic. It's a treifa. For Beit Shammai, that will be a higher threshold. Beit Shammai will say it's not a treifa until you're missing two vertebrae. The skull is not a treifa until it has a hole the size of a drill hole. So over here, what was a chumrah in olamate will turn out to be a kula in treifa. Now, if here you subscribe to the chumrah to Beit Shammai and the chumrah to Beit Hillel, you're going to run into a problem. They're mutually exclusive opinions. You can't say in one place it's a treifa, and in the other place it's not mitami b'olamate. Those two are inconsistent, contradictory opinions. And that's why we say you're not allowed to take two chumrah of two different opinions, or two kulot of two different opinions, when they have this problem of being mutually exclusive. But if they're not mutually exclusive, then we're willing to paskin. In our case of here, Rav and Shmuel's machloket is independent. They're not correlated. One machloket is whether a mavui akum is considered to be mifulash or not mifulash. And the second machloket is, once I have a mavui mifulash, what do I do with the mavoi mifulash? Do I require daltot and lechi? Or do I require tzureta petach and lechi? But the two machlokot are not connected. And if they're not connected, I can pass on the chumrah like Rav and the chumrah like Shmuel, because I'm not subscribing to contradictory or mutually exclusive opinions. Where it says, is it really true? When they are mutually exclusive or contradictory, we don't pass on like that. Meitiv mersharshiyom, asib Rabbi Akiva. We have a case for Rabbi Akiva. Shiliket etrog be'achad bishvat. He picked an etrog on Rosh Chodesh Shivat. V'nagbo Beit Isurim. He separated from it two masrot. Echad kedivrei Beit Shammai, v'echad kedivrei Beit Hillel. One like Beit Shammai, and one like Beit Hillel. So here we're talking about a machloket. A machloket as to when Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot is. It's a machloket as to when that threshold or that date over which the year changes for the ilanot, for the trees, for the fruits. Beit Shammai believes Echad Bishvat. It's on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Beit Hillel believes it's on Tu Bishvat. That's the way we paskin. And Tu Bishvat is Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot. Now that has impact in terms of the years of Masrot. And that is because in year one and year two of the 7-year cycle of the Shemitah, a person gives Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. In year three, they give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. In year four and five, once again, they give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. And in year six, they give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. That means in the third year and the sixth year, they give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani instead of Maaser Sheni, which is given in the first, second, and fourth and fifth years. So if you're on that threshold, either between year two and year three, year three and year four, or between year five and six, where the Maaser will be different. In a year where it's always Maaser Sheni, it really doesn't make a difference. The problem is where it changes from Maaser Sheni to Maaser Ani, or Maaser Ani to Maaser Sheni. So over here, Rabbi Akiva took off two Masrot. He wasn't sure if it was Rosh Hashanah yet or not. He picked on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. According to Beit Shammai, that's already a new year. So it's a new year, it's a new Maaser. So he's got to give Maaser for the next year. So that could be Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, whatever the next year is. Beit Hillel says it's not the next year yet. Tu Bishvat's the next year. It's still the previous year. So we have to give him Maaserot from the previous year because he wasn't certain as to which one. But here they're mutually exclusive opinions. Either Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Rosh Hashanah is Tu Bishvat. You can't have it be both. It has to be one of the two. So how is it here that he's machmir for both Shittat Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in this case? Now, as Tosfos points out, he didn't take off 2 tenths over here. He took off Maaser Rishon and then he took off Maaser Sheni. He was poda the Maaser Sheni. He redeemed it onto his money. And then he took that money, B'dusha, and spent it in Yerushalayim and ate it like Maaser Sheni. And he gave that 1/10 to the Aniim that he had redeemed. So he only takes 1/10 off the produce that he gives to the Aniim, but he redeems it onto his money and takes his money up to Yerushalayim to treat it like Maaser Sheni to ensure that he covered both Maaser Ani and Maaser Sheni. But over here you have mutually exclusive opinions, and yet Rabbi Akiva is choshesh for both opinions. Mar says, no, you misunderstood. Rabbi Akiva, gamrei istapakle. Rabbi Akiva had an issue with his learning. It wasn't a question as to whether halachas like Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai paskin like Beit Hillel. V'lo yadai Beit Hillel b'chad b'shvat amur, ibechamesh esrei b'shvat amur. He doesn't remember whether Beit Hillel thought Rosh Hashanah was on Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Rosh Hashanah was on Tu B'Shvat. His safek is not between two opinions. His safek is in Beit Hillel itself. He wants to paskin like Beit Hillel. And he wants to know whether Beit Hillel says Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat. He forgot which of the two. So therefore he was machmir for both. And therefore, he went to Chumrah, not because they were taking two opinions, but because it was a single opinion, he's just uncertain as to the opinion. So in order to avoid any problems or questions, he did the Chumrah of both of them. Now, Tosfos does point out that what is the question here? Why is there even a question with regards to our Gemara here, passing like Rav and Shmuel? As the Gemara says, that they are independent issues. If they're independent issues, what? Throughout Shas, we always passing like Rav? Or throughout Shas, we always passing like Shmuel? No, sometimes we passing like Rav, sometimes we passing like Shmuel. As long as they're not mutually exclusive opinions. Why does the Gemara even have a question here that they did like Chumrot of Rav and Shmuel? So that is a big issue here, because the truth is we should have been allowed to pick and choose halacha like me in each of these cases. Halacha Gerav with regards to Mifulash. Halacha Kishmuel, or how to be Mitakin and Mifulash. That's what in the end says, you have to say or suggest that over here you have to say that there is some connection between them. Otherwise, the Gemara doesn't make so much sense as to why it's even thinking that there should be a problem over here. So you have to think that once we've established that it's a mavoy mifulash according to Rav, then the halacha is only Terat HaBetach. There's no din of daltot at all according to Rav. And therefore that's why it seems to be mutually exclusive, because Rav has a view within mavoy mifulash. And since it's all in mavoy mifulash, then it would be improper to take the opinions from two different sides. Yoti Rav Yosef kamed Rav Huna, v'yoti v'kamar. Rav Yosef was sitting before Rav Huna and saying over, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. So here we have a statement from Yehuda in the name of Rav. Machloket bisratya mikan, bisratya mikan. The machloket here is when there's a sratya on one side of the mavoy and a sratya on the other side of mavoy. It's a mavoy mifulash. We have a machloket between the Tanakhama and Chananya as to how you're mitaking this mavoy mifulash. That's only true when the two ends of the mavoy are really exiting into real rishuyot rabim. That is either a sratya or platya mikan or platya mikan. It's either a sratya or a platya on both ends, meaning a real rishuyot rabim on both ends. Rashi over here says that a sratya is a main thoroughfare in the city, and a platya is the shuk, it's the commercial strip of the city, and those are both Rishuyot HaRabim. In other places in Shas, And according to many of the other Rishonim, a Siratya here is an inter-city road, and a Platya is an intra-city road. But they're both Rishiot Arabim. So here we have a Mavoy that on both ends opens up into either one of these. That is complete Rishut Arabim. And that's where we have a Machloket between the Tana Kama and Hananya. And if you're passing like Beit Hillel, whether you need Tzurat the Petach, Lechi and Korah, or do you need Daltot and Lechi and Korah. But, Ibi Kamikan, Aval Sratya Mikan, Vikamikan, if you have a Sratya, a real Rishut Rabim on one side, and a Bika, a valley on the other side. A Bika is a din of a Carmelite, it's not a Rishut Rabim. So you have a Carmelite on one side, and you have a Rishut Rabim on the other side. Oh, Bikamikan, Ubikamikan. Or you have a Bika on both sides. You have a Bika, Carmelite on both ends of the Mavoy. Oseh Tzurat the Petach Mikan, Velechi Vekorah Mikan, you put a Tzurat the Petach on one end. And a Lechi or a Korah on the other end, and you're done. Everybody agrees. Even Hananya will agree here that there's no daltot, because you're not dealing with real Rishiyot Arabim on both ends. Mar says, I don't understand this statement. Hashta Sratya Mikan Ubika Mikan. In a case where we have one real Rishut Arabim, and then a Bika, a Carmelite on the other side, you said, Tzurat HaPetach Mikan Velechi Korah Mikan. There you said it's enough to have a Tzurat HaPetach and a Lechi or a Korah on the other side. Bika Mikan, Bika Mikan, mi boy. You have to have a, tell me about a case where it's a Carmelite on both sides? Obviously, in that case, it's going to be sufficient. Now, Tosfo points out, you could have argued the other way around. You could have said, maybe you don't need anything in the case of Carmelite. That's what Rav's coming to teach you. That even in a case of Bika Bika, you still need Tzurat HaPetach or Lechi Vekorah. But he says the Lashon of the statement from Rav doesn't sound that way. And it sounds like this is the Halacha, even by Bika Bika, similar to the way it is by Sratya and Bika. So why, if you know the din by Sratya and Bika, why do you need the din by Bika and Bika? So that's what the Mar says, Achi Amar. Amen, this statement that we have from you, the name of Rav, and it should read, Sratya Mikan, Ubika Mikan, if you have a real Rishut Rabim on one side, and you have a Bika, a Carmelite on the other side of the Mavui HaMifulash, Naseh, Ubika Mikan, Ubika Mikan. It's similar to having a Carmelite on both ends of this Mavui HaMifulash, and therefore it's sufficient to give it a Tzurat HaPetach and a Korah and Lechi on the other side. So what we just did now from Yehuda Merav was narrow the Machloket here between Tana Kama and Hananya, because that's only in cases where the Mavui HaMifulash, the completely straight through Mavui, touches a Rishut HaRabim, real Rishut HaRabim on both sides. If one of the sides is not a Rishut HaRabim, then already we downgrade it, and everybody agrees you only need Tzurat HaPetach and Lechi or Korah on the other end. Then, Umisayim Ba Mishmei de Rav Yehuda. Then Rav Yosef continued and ended off the last statement only in the name of Rav Yehuda, not in the name of Rav. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So now, this is going to present the problem with the remainder of the sugya, because we know Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. So now, Rav Yehuda, in this case, did he say in the name of Rav, or did he say in the name of Shmuel? And that's going to be the question that the sugya deals with. Saying by Mishmei Rav Yehuda, Maya Mavoi Kala L'Rachava, Ein Tzarich Klum. If the Mavoi emptied out into a Rachava, it doesn't need anything. Okay, let's start. What's going on here? What's the case here? So you can see, first of all, here in Rashi. Rashi here on the bottom left has a picture of what we're discussing. There's a lot more pieces to this case than meets the eye here, which is a Rechava. Let's start with a Rechava. A Rechava versus a Chatzer. We discussed this once before. Chatzer, or courtyard, is the front yard. It's where the doorway of the house exits into the yard. That's called a Chatzer. That is a lot of usage. And that is the front of the house. Rechava is the back of the house. It's the backs of the houses. I call it the equivalent of a backyard. Question of whether there was even an entrance to there from the house. But it's a backyard, so it has less usage. You don't find people there very frequently. So that's what we're talking about. Let's start with that. That's the Rechava. That's number one. Number two is, we have a case where a Mavoi is ending in this Rechava. You have a Mavoi that's open on one side to a Rishut HaRabim. On the other side, it's opening up into this Rechava. What's the din of this Mavoi? You have a Mavoi, a Rishut HaRabim on one side, you have a Rechava on the other side. Now, if it was simply a Rechava, you'd be fine. But this is just a simple Rechava, because that'd be too simple a case. What's the case here, where the Rechava, opposite the Mavoi, has a breach in the wall. And that breach in the wall faces the Rishut HaRabim. So you can, again, you can see this in Rashi. Rashi has the picture here. You have a Mavoi on the left side. The left end of the Mavoi is facing a Rishut HaRabim. That's not marked there, but it's also emptying into a Rishut HaRabim. The Mavoi on the right side empties out into a Rechava. That Rechava opposite the Mavoi on the other side of the Rechava is a breach in the wall of the Rechava that empties into the Rishut HaRabim. The question is, what's the status of this? So that's what he says. You don't need anything at all. Now, over here, when it means ain't tzarich klum, that doesn't literally mean you don't need anything at all. But it's not a din of a Rishut HaRabim on both sides. It's not a din of a Mavui HaMifulash.
But rather, it's a din of a mavoi she'eno mifulash. It's a mavoi that doesn't go straight through. So now, that's easy. We have the statement for Rabbi Yehuda, but now the Gemara wants to know, Amar Abaye, the Rav Yosef. Had Rav Yehuda Shmuel hi. So Abaye, who's a Talmud of Rav Yosef, Abaye, who's sitting in front of Rav Yosef, Talmud of Rav Yosef, says to Rav Yosef, this statement of Rav Yehuda must be from Shmuel. It cannot be from Rav. De'i me Rav. If it came from Rav, kashid Rav adrav. Bitarte. We would have an inconsistency in Rav's position on two fronts. Damar Rav, Irmiya ba'avar marav. Mavoy, shenifratz bimilo'o l'chatzer. V'nifakaz chatzer kenegdo. And the chatzer is broken on the other side. Chatzer muteret, mavoy asur. The chatzer is mutar, but the mavoy is asur. It's basically the identical scenario as we had on the previous amud in the picture there, but instead of it being a rechava, it's a chatzer. That's the difference in this. Now, Rav has an opinion here. When that happens, he says that the chatzer is mutar, whereas the mavoy is asur. I have to deal with this and why it's inconsistent with this previous opinion. Let's just start with why the chatzer is mutar over here and the mavui is asur. The chatzer is open on one side to the Rishut Rabim. That is not a problem because it's less than 10 amot. Less than 10 amot is considered to be a petach, a doorway. And a chatzer that has a doorway into the Rishut Rabim, that's fine as long as you have omed merubel aparutz, you have an area that's enclosed. The chatzer has no problem in terms of that exit to the Rishut Rabim. That petach to Rishut Rabim is not a deficiency for the chatzer. That's number one. Number two is the mavoi does not affect the chatzer. The mavoi does not affect the chatzer because
the case here is a case where it's nifritza. Meaning until this point in time, the mavoi wasn't emptying into the chatzer. It didn't have a right to go through the chatzer. So because of that, the chatzer really has doorways on both ends. There's a doorway to the side of the mavui, and there's a doorway to the Rishut Rabim. And in a chatzer, that's not problematic. So the chatzer itself is muteret.
According to Rav, the problem here is not that the bnei chatzer make it asur for the mavui, but rather it looks like a mavui mifulash. It looks like a mavui that goes straight through, because when you stand in the mavui, you can see all the way through. Now based on that, there's a big distinction between Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, number one, said, when it's mifulash, it's not a problem. When he had the rechava there, he said, you can look through, all the way through, and it wasn't a problem. He said, fine. Rav says, you can look all the way through. I think that is, mavui miflesh is problematic. Because, he says, the mavui is asur. Rav Yehuda said, mavui is mutar, when you had that case of the rechava. Rav says, the mavui is asur, when you have a case of the chatzer. That's because Rav thinks this is miflesh and problematic. Rav Yehuda thinks it's not miflesh and not problematic. That's the first stira in their din. The second steer in the din is that Rabbi Yehuda says berechava versus chatzer. Rav says his din in chatzer. He says his din in chatzer because he believes what's the problem? It's mifulash over here. That's the problem. Chatzer, rechava doesn't make any difference. Chatzer and rechava have no impact over here. Rabbi Yehuda said my din is only true by rechava. Had my din been said by a chatzer, it would have been problematic. Why? Because the bnei chatzer would cause a problem for the bnei amavoid. The difference being, so this is their machloket. One machloket is whether this is mifulash, not mifulash. Rav says, this is considered to be mifulash when you have a breach on the other side of the wall, and that's the problem here. Rav Yehuda says, that's not called mifulash. That's their first machloket. Second machloket is when I have a mavoi that's completely broken into a chatzer, what's the din of that mavoi?
So Rav said it's din even by chatzer, but he's saying that the issue here is mavoi and mifulash. The chatzer itself has no bearing on the mavoi qua chatzer. It only has a problem because of the breach on the other end. Rav would say the same thing by rechava. If it was open on the other end, there was a breach on the other end, that is a problematic because it's a mavoi mifulash. So why did he mention chatzer? He comes to mention the chatzer to tell you that the chatzer itself is not a problem. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says in a rechava. The reason he mentions rechava is because an area that doesn't have a lot of people in it, doesn't have a need for an eruv, it's not something that is asur. Implying that if it was a location that was asur, had it been a chatzer, then Rav Yehuda would have a problem. He doesn't have a problem with mifulash, but then he would have a problem because it is a chatzer. Qua chatzer would be problematic on the mavoi. Rashi says, because the people in the chatzer have a right to walk into the mavoi, and therefore they're oser on the mavoi, just like any chatzer empties out into a mavoi. Tosafot says, because it lacks a lechi. It lacks anything that separates between the mavoi and the chatzer. And that is based on a Gemara later on, which says that when you have a mavoi that breaks entirely into the chatzer, then from the side of the chatzer, you have sides to the walls. So there is some sort of siman or indication of a petach. On the other hand, from the side of the mavoi, there's nothing indicating that it's a petach over there. And since there's nothing indicating that it's a petach over there, it does not function like a lechi. Rav, on the other hand, says, no, that's not the case. The problem here is mifulash. That's the only problem here because of the breach on the other end. As terms of chatzer, kwa chatzer, that's not a problem. According to Rashi, it's not a problem because if Znifritza, the Mavoi broke into the chatzer, and therefore the chatzer really didn't have rights to walk through the Mavoi. They were not connected beforehand. On the other hand, Tosafot says it's because Rav believes that when you have on the outside something that is a lechi, but from the inside you can't see it as a lechi, that is classified as a lechi. So over here, when you walk through, you can not see it from the side of the Mavoi, but if you walk from the side of the Chatzer, it would have sides to it, and that would be the equivalent of a lechi. So now we have a machloke between Rav and this statement of Yehuda on two fronts. The first front is that whether it's classified as a Mavoi Mifulash or not in this case, where the other exit from the Mavoi is through a Rechavar Chatzer, Rav Yehuda says that's not considered a Mifulash, because there's a Rechava or something sitting in between that breaks out to the sides, and therefore it's not classified as a mifulash. On the other hand, Rav believes that when you have that opening on their side, it's classified like a mavoi mifulash, because when you stand in the mavoi and you look through, when you stand in the mavoi, you look one way, you see Rishut Rabbim, you look the other way, you see Rishut Rabbim, it feels like a mavoi mifulash. So Rav says, asur. In addition to that, they have another machloket about chatzer. What is the impact of chatzer, qua chatzer, on the mavoi? What happens even if there's no breach on the other side? Rav Yehuda says you have a chatzer there, that's oser the mavoi. Either because of Rashi who says that the chatzer has a right to walk into the mavoi, or because of what Tosavot says, that the walls don't act like a lechi because they only belong, the walls are only visible from the side of the chatzer, not from the side of the mavoi. On the other hand, Rav says chatzer is not a problem for the mavoi, qua chatzer. It's only because of the breach on the other end. So because the chatzer is here, it wouldn't affect the mavoi. Either because nifritza, the wall broke down entirely, into the chatzer, so the chatzer really didn't have a right to walk into the mavoi, or because it functions like a lechi, because the walls in the chatzer, even though they can't be seen from the side of the mavoi, can be seen from the side of the chatzer, and that's classified like a lechi. So then, amai lavi kemavoi shekalal rechava. Why should Rav's position be that it is considered to be mifulash? It should be no different than what Rav Yehuda said, and should not be considered as mifulash. Rav Yehuda responds to Abaye and says, ana lo yadano. I don't know who to assign Rabbi Yehuda's statement to. He said it, or I have the case, we're going to see in 1 second, without any approbation. I don't know if it came from Rav or it came from Shmuel. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda is both a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. He learned by Rav and then later on learned by Shmuel. So when he makes a statement, it could either be from Rav or it could be from Shmuel. But Rabbi Yossi says, Uvda hava bedura diriuta. There was this location, a shepherd's colony, a shepherd's village, where they had a mavoi shekalal the rechava, a case like Rav Yehuda described, havo, va'ato the kamei de Rav Yehuda, they came to Rav Yehuda and asked for a psak alocha. V'lo asked for chay v'lo midei. He didn't require them to put anything on the side of the rechava. He said, you only need a lechi on the side of the reshut rabim. Svi kash mishmei de Rav. Look, if you have a problem that Rav Yehuda, if he said a name of Rav, there would be a steer for Rav. Tavi mishmei de Shmuel. Then go ahead and say it in the name of Shmuel. I don't have any direction as to who Rav Yehuda is saying it in the name of, so therefore, if you tell me it's a problem for Rav, let's say it in the name of Shmuel, and we won't have any issue. Hashto, the Gemara says, the Amar le Rav Shesha, the Rav Shmuel bar Abba. Now that we have a statement from Rav Shesha to Rav Shmuel bar Abba, of Amri lo, the Rav Yosef bar Abba, or to Rav Yosef bar Abba, asav lecha, I will explain to you, kan shirvu, kan shelo yirvu. This is a case where there's an Eruv, and a case where there's no Eruv. Rav's statement is not a blanket statement. When Rav says here that the Mavoi is Asur, the Mavoi is only Asur when there's no Eruv between the Mavoi and the Chatzer. But if there was an Eruv between the Mavoi and the Chatzer, then it would not be problematic for the Mavoi as well. Well, once you have done something like that, we can explain Rav very differently. That means that Rav's whole explanation of why the Mavoi was Asur and the Chatzer was Mutar has nothing to do with Mifulash. It rather has to do with the Chatzer. And that's very similar to Rav Yehuda. And that's what the Gemara says now. To Rav and to Rav, Nami lo kasha. Now we don't have a steer in Rav. Kan shirvu b'nei chatzerim b'nei mavoi. Kan shelo irvu. It's a difference with whether there is an Eruv or not.
If once you realize that what Rav Sheshet says about Rav, then we've now changed the whole view of why the mavoi is asur. It's all because the chatzer has nothing to do with the breach on the other side. And that makes me sound exactly like Rav Yehuda now. You have a chatzer that is causing a problem for the mavoi. The breach on the other side of the chatzer is not problematic. How do I know that? Because Rav Sheshet says, if you made an eruv between the chatzer and the mavoi, it would be fine. Why should it be fine? There's still the breach on the other side. The answer is, Because the only problem here is the chatzer. And Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that. The problem here is the chatzer. Now I can reconcile between the statement of Rabbi Yehuda and the position of Rav. The position of Rabbi Yehuda was said by a rechava. A rechava has no people in it, so that's why it's not oser on the mavoi. The breach on the other side, that's not called a mavoi mifulash. Rav agrees with that. Rav says that a rechava and a chatzer that has an eruv with the mavoi are identical. That's the same thing. And Rabbi Yehuda would agree with that, because then there's no reason to say the mavoi is asur. The chatzer doesn't give a problem for it, or if it's a rechava, it's not problematic for it. The chatzer, because there's an eruv, the rechava, because it doesn't have people in it. So it's not a problem for the mavoi. The breach on the other side, we don't think that's a mavoi mifulash. Rav agrees with that. What about the case here, that Rav and Rav quotes in the name of Rav? That's a case where there was no eruv. Case where there's no eruv, both Rav and now Rav Yehuda would agree that that's a chatzer shalo irvubo, that they didn't have an eruv on it. That causes a problem for the mavoi. Both of them agree to that position. So now we have their positions being reconciled. The only question you have to ask now is, why did Rav mention the breach on the other side? I mean, if Rav doesn't need the breach, even without a breach, the chatzer causes a problem for the mavoi. So you can say one of two things. Either that was the case, and that's why he said it, or he's coming to teach you a din. What's the chiddush that the chatzer caused a problem for the mavoi? Obviously, the chatzer caused a problem for the mavoi. The chiddush is that even though there's a breach on the other side, the only problem we have here is the chatzer, not the breach on the other side, which means that it's not considered or classified like a mavoi mifulash.
So the Gemara here says, now I understand in conclusion what happened here and how we can reconcile between the statement of Rav Yehuda and Rav's statement. And we could say that Rav Yehuda was even saying it in the name of Rav. But, ulamai desalkin adat in mikara, what we thought originally was, bench yirvu, bench lo yirvu, plige. That whether there was an eruv there between the chatzer and the mavoi, or whether there was no eruv there, there was a machloke between Rav's statement and that statement of Rav Yehuda. Because before we thought that Rav's issue was with the mifulash, that was breached on the other side. The chatzer, qua chatzer, didn't make any difference. So that wouldn't matter whether the chatzer had an eruv or didn't have an eruv. The chatzer wasn't the issue. So if that's the case, what was the machloke between Rav Yehuda and Rav in that instance? So Gemara says, "Be'irvu b'maypelige." If it had an eruv there, what's the machlok between Rav and Rav Yehuda? Shelo irvu. If there was no eruv there, maypelige. What's the machloket? Shelo irvu plige. When there's no eruv there, the machloket is b'nira b'chutz v'shave b'mifnim. When from one side you have something that looks like walls, there are pasim that break out to the side, but on the other side you can't see it. In this case here, where the mavoi looking into the chatzer has no change in the walls, there's straight walls going into the chatzer. On the other hand, from the chatzer side, looking into the mavoi, you do have walls there. So that machloke between Rav and Rav Yehuda in that case will be, is there a separation between the chatzer and the mavoi? Is there a lechi on that side? Rav says that there is a lechi on that side now because you have the walls of the chatzer and they'll act like a lechi. According to Rav, those walls on the side help to make it into something that is a lechi and separates between the mavoi and the chatzer. So therefore, it acts as a lechi, or a break between the mavoi and the chatzer, and the mavoi would be mutaret. Mavoi would be mutaret because the chatzer doesn't have impact on the mavoi because of this separation, this doorway between them. Even though normally a chatzer walks into a mavoi and it would cause problems for a mavoi, over here we said before that pirtza, the wall was broken or breached, and that's how it opened into the chatzer. So normally the chatzer, or before this point, the chatzer didn't have rights to walk into the mavoi. Therefore, the mavoi is muteret, and the chatzer is muteret. Now, the mavoi will have a separate issue, which is mavoi mifulash. So it'll have a problem with mifulash, but not a problem of the chatzer. That's the first thing. Now, the case be irvu, in a case where there's an eru between the chatzer and the mavoi, there, what's the machlok between Rav and Rav Yehuda? Over there, Rav says that it's still problematic because it's mifulash. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says that it's fine in that case because there's no oser on the mavoi, and that's not considered to be mifulash. They argue when Rav Yosef, Damar Rav Yosef, lo shana lo shekala lemtza rechava, kalitzidi rechava asur. It's only true when it empties out into the middle of the rechava. When it empties out into the middle of the rechava, then you have walls to this walk area to the sides, both the left and the right side. And that is what makes it not like a mifulash. That's why it's not similar to mifulash in other places. On the other hand, if the breach from the mavoi into the rechava was on the side, to the right side or the left side, and then there was a breach opposite it into the Rishut Rabim, that would be considered mifulash, even according to Rav Yehuda, because there you have a single wall, either on the right side or left side, that goes all the way through for the mavoi to both sides of Rishut Rabim. In that case, even Rav Yehuda would agree that it's considered mifulash. But in a case where it breached in the emtz on the middle, then you have the mechava in between. That makes it not like a mavoi mifulash.
So Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to this position of Yosef when there's a breach in the middle. That's not considered Mavoye Mifulash. And Rav will disagree and say that is considered a Mavoye Mifulash. Because when you're standing in the Mavoye and you look out, one way you see Rishut Rabim, you look the other way, you see Rishut Rabim. You're not aware of the sides that break away in the Rechava, because when you're in the Mavoye, you don't have that perspective. And that would have been their Machalokin in a case where there's an Eruv between the Chatzer and the Mavoye, because the Chatzer there is no longer problematic for the Mavoye. It's simply like a Rechava. And if it's a Rechava, there's no problem. So what is the problem? Mifulash. Rav thinks it is Mifulash. Rav Yehuda thinks it's not Mifulash. Okay, we'll stop over here.